Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
We've got the most amount of people we've had in the studio for a while. They all look like a bunch of trouble to me. And we've got over here with the extra microphone, we've got Kai.
Hello.
You okay? We're just checking that works. And then we're being double teamed there with Elisa and Bradders. Are you okay?
Yep.
100%. And over here, what have you let yourself in for? You could have wriggled out of this and not bothered. You had a perfect excuse.
Absolutely not.
Debbie Andre's in, and just first of all, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I'm glad that.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm not going to be at the sharp end of any of the questions, so I'm going to be okay. But just before we start, obviously, the team have been with us for the last 5-6 months, and the reason why we wanted to get you in, because you are the right person to talk to. There were a number of things that we've discussed over the last couple of months, and I just thought, hey, look, let's go and get somebody that can make some changes maybe, or offer some advice, because of the things that were being said. Obviously, it will unfold as we go. But first of all, so that they know, because I've only told them a little bit, you're a counsellor, but what is your role?
Okay, so I'm a counsellor. I'm part of what's called the Cabinet in the Isle of Wight Council, which is one of the main decision-making bodies. And my responsibility within that decision-making body is to look after our young people across education, across a variety of children's services. But it's all about you young people, and that's why I'm so pleased to be here today.
Okay, well, I'll let them ask the first questions and we can go away. And it will become very clear why we wanted to set this up, and it's quite... do you have any tissues?
Oh.
You might need them.
Oh, dear, okay. I am an emotional person, I do warn you.
Who wants to take the first question?
Bradley.
Okay, Bradders.
Go, Bradders.
There was one situation at school where I was getting picked on at one point, and I don't think the situation was handled as well as it could have been. I had to write 5 statements and it still didn't get sorted out. And I spoke to the head of school, and it got better then, but I feel like the situation could have been handled a bit better.
Okay, well, firstly, I'm really sorry to hear that you've had to go through that, but really proud of what you've said, that you actually had the wherewithal to call it out, because I think it's really important, and it takes a lot, I know, when you're in that situation. But it sounds as if you did the right things. There's a number of places where you can go for support in that situation. I assume you spoke to your form tutor, did you, in the first instance?
Yeah.
And what kind of support and reaction did you get from them?
He tried helping as much as he could, and then he spoke to some people, but when I went to the year office and stuff, I thought like they could have handled it a bit better.
Okay, well, there's a couple of things here, because you should have a student services in your school that you should go to, that you can go to support you. But also, if you look on your school's website, you will find there are a range of policies there. And they will have, every school has to have an anti-bullying policy. And not only do they have to have an anti-bullying policy, but they have to enforce it. So it's a really useful document, because if you look at that, you can actually say, well, this is the situation that happened, and in your policy it says this is what should happen, you know, the things that I need to do. But you're absolutely right to call it out, because it, you know, you shouldn't have to put up with stuff like that.
I wasn't aware of something on the website, were you?
No.
Okay, well, one good thing is we're making people aware. So there is a policy. There should be a policy on every school's website about bullying.
There's all sorts of policies, safeguarding policies, anti-bullying policies. Every school has to have that.
Okay.
And they also have to abide by it.
I mean, obviously, he didn't know about it. I didn't know about it. What about the rest of you? Did you know about it?
No clue.
So maybe that's something we got to address.
I have to be honest. I think, to be fair, things like that are generally more aimed at parents. But when young people get to this age, I think, you know, it's only right that you should be able to speak up for yourself. And one of the things that I'm very, very strong on is listening to the voice of our young people. Because at the end of the day, you're the ones that are having to experience these things, and you're the ones that we need to deal directly with. Why should we have to go through parents? I mean, obviously, there's an age-appropriate element to this, but I really want to hear it and get that dialogue. It's really important to get that dialogue going directly with our young people.
OK, how are things now, Bradders?
Yeah, they're a lot better.
That's good. That's good. But next time, I mean, you can now feel safe in the knowledge that you can go and have a look on the website and you can discuss it with people and maybe get some advice from that. But you've already, you know, let's hope it doesn't happen again. But, you know, you know the process that you've got to go through.
Yeah.
Okay, so who's going to ask the next question?
Me.
It's a bit of a long one, though.
Oh, is it? Don't worry. It's long but necessary.
Yeah.
Right.
I understand that many people don't like physical education, me being one of them. But why is it considered just an opinion? It's more than just an opinion, understandably. But is it ever taken in that we might need more help and a choice? Some of us can do it, some can't. Why should I be made and others to feel bad because we can't do the sport? Our teammates tell us they don't want us in their team. They put us over in the spot that has to just sit there and watch because they think we're too bad to play and we'll make them lose, even if it's their fault they lose, but it's our fault for some reason. That's unfair, don't you think? They don't care about what they say to us as long as it'll stop us from being on their team. I can do some sport that I'm good at, I'll say that, but is some all? Then again, I'm not just talking about the students, I'm talking about some teachers. We've just been made to feel bad because we can't do the sport as well as others, and the teacher is telling me, why are you just standing there? It's not always like this for me. Mostly is, but isn't always. But I know some that get every single physical education lesson. How is that fair?
Okay, thank you for the question.
Yeah, good question.
That's a really interesting one. And I do accept that not everybody likes PE, just like not everybody likes science or maths or English. But there are... I'll put a question back to you, Kai. Do you think that there is too much emphasis on competition and selecting the best people rather than giving everybody an opportunity to take part in a sport that because there's a great variety of sports, to find a sport that they might enjoy?
There was a lesson, I'm kind of confused, but there was a lesson where there was like all the good people. Bradley was in this lesson, but there was a lesson where there's all the good people on one team and I'm not trying to be rude, but all of us that couldn't do it on another team. It was really unfair.
Yeah. I think you make a really good point. Did you actually take this up with anybody?
Other people did.
I must admit, I'll take that back because I think that's a really good point that you make, that if you're going to effectively segregate out the teams so that you've got all the best people in one team and not so much in another, does that actually give the best experience to everyone?
Can I take that a level forward and just sort of say, if what I'm hearing right, and I'm pretty sure I am because we've had a conversation about this many times, there will come a time and there will be other youngsters that go through similar instances. They may have a weight issue. They may have all sorts of issues. They're just not cut out for sport. And there's a lot of the times when we hear things that people are suffering mentally. This could be a massive problem for a number of kids that just do not like PE or the way that it's structured. And surely, you know, and Kai will tell you that he agrees that there is something that he needs to do to keep some kind of level of fitness, but it's what we do and how that is going to affect him and other people going forward may give him a few issues. So it is worth addressing because, you know, say, I used to, going back to when I was at school, there were, you know, I was good at football. So, you know, you'd have a team and you pick the teams and you always have about three at the end and you think no one wanted them. How must that have felt? That must feel awful. And, you know, I think Kai is quite a sensible, mature young man. And I think he deals with it really well, but there are others that probably won't deal with it as well.
I think what it comes down to and what I'm hearing here is at the end of the day, once you get to this kind of age, there should be much more choice and decision making for the individual, which, you know, I absolutely agree with. I certainly know that in primary, we do have something called the PEACH programme. I can never remember what acronyms are the bane of my life. It's something like physical education and children's health. And what that is it's actually funded by public health. And it's a variety of, I say sports very loosely, because it's alternative sports. And it's actually specifically aimed at children who don't excel in the run-of-the-mill sports. But I'm not sure whether that actually follows through to this age. But again, that's something that it's not for me to determine schools' policy, individual schools' policy. But as a general point, it's definitely something I can look at. I mean, in terms of, I think as well, it depends what you're doing outside of school. Can I ask, Kai, do you sort of do any kind of, you know, walking or other kind of physical education outside of school?
I mean, I can go on walks, but I don't do like sport.
I don't think there's any issue with walking. We've got one of the biggest walking festivals on the island, and I love going out walking. But I think if you are mindful of your own health and you take, it's about taking responsibility, really, isn't it? But it's something that I will definitely pick up. Again, I don't know if it's something that would be on the individual school's website, but there has to be some kind of overall policy as to whether it's appropriate after a certain age, if you're really not into sport, could your time be better place doing something else?
I think in the past we've had the discussions, and it's I think Kai agrees that he's got to do something, but maybe it's, I mean, we mentioned jogging, you know, not sprinting, not running, not chasing other people and so on, but just jogging, walking, keeping yourself fit. I think you agree that you've got to have some kind of level of fitness, but it's the sports that you're not really interested in. You did say you'd love to do trampolining, but I don't think that's practical, do you? I mean, bearing in mind that you're going to have one trampoline per person, and if you got 20 people that want to do it, you've got to go and get 20 trampolines.
I've got
you?
An answer for that. I used to have one in the garden.
Did you? There you go.
My next door neighbours weren't very happy.
No,
they told me when I was using it, I had to look the other way.
Well, can Kai come around and use your trampoline then?
I don't have it anymore. No, but I think, you know, should at this kind of age, should that have to be part of the school day? Or I don't know, I'm just thinking off the top of my head to say it's not for me to determine individual schools' policy. But if you actually said, look, instead of doing PE today, I'd rather go and revise my science or my history or my geography, would anybody actually have an issue with that? But perhaps you walk to school, so you're getting your exercise outside of the school day.
Okay, I've got a question for you, Kai. When just say, for instance, you're going through the picking process and you're not picked until last because of whatever reason, how does it make you feel?
Awful.
How awful?
I don't know. It's not a good feeling at all.
Okay. All right, I don't want to push it, but that's from the horse's mouth. And I mean, it does go on, and it's been going on for years. And I think, I mean, last time we had a discussion, I think we're in both agreement that the things that are in place now, perhaps there are certain things that are really good, rock solid. We need maths, we need English. But everything else, chucked up in the air, chuck away the bits that we don't need, improve the bits that will improve people's education and mindset.
I have to say that is some very innovative work going on in our secondary schools, and heads and leaders are very good at broadening out the curriculum. And I think there have been some significant changes, in all fairness, in the last couple of years, because we've all had to basically rethink life, haven't we? But I think previously to that, the curriculum was far too narrow. But I think we are going in the right direction. I mean, there's a certain school on the island, secondary school, that actually they've promoted this nationally, they actually tie in a maritime theme within the curriculum across their all their year groups at secondary school. And bearing in mind the island and its maritime connections, so there is some really good work going on to actually look at perhaps some different ways of learning rather than just the traditional methods that we've had for the last goodness knows how long.
Okay. You got any more questions?
No. That was all of them.
That was all of them. You satisfied mm-hmm. with the answer?
Yeah.
Yeah? No, you're not.
No, yeah.
No, you're right. Okay.
I'm going to listen to Elisa's.
Okay. Elisa, Elisa.
Yeah.
So just move yourself a little bit closer to that microphone because you've only got a little voice.
I have not.
She's going to surprise us now. Yeah.
Ready?
Yep. Right. So one of my biggest issues with school is how we deal with racism. I'm going to start off with the fact that I've been in school for about 2 years, and lately I've experienced almost at least one snarky comment, one person being horrible or targeting me every week for a long period of time. So first of all, I'm having to deal with it constantly. One of my other issues is that how we deal with it in particular, because let's say something happens to me in school, I tend to not accept it, and I go telling the teachers like they always advise me to do. I go tell them what's happened, I file a report, and everything gets dealt with. But the thing is, it doesn't really go that smoothly. What happens is I tell them, they file a report, they do it anonymously, then the student finds me sometimes, has a go at me. Last time when I got this girl in trouble, this is just an example, because she decided to call me the N-word. And I went and reported her, and then she had her punishment. She went to referral, so she had like a whole day off of school. She had a big punishment, which I was happy with. And then right afterwards, she was in school that day. She stormed around the corner. She called me out. She called me the B word. She absolutely went off at me. She called me the F word. She spent rumours about me. Her friends came and targeted me, also had a go at me, because calling me a snitch, all sorts. And then I had to move classes because it was that bad, and everybody was horrible to me because I was a snitch. I was a liar. I was somebody making a deal out of nothing. And then this has happened repeated times. I always get more backlash for speaking up, standing up for myself. I always get more backlash than actually what they've done to me in the first place. So they go saying something, I go report them, then I get even more of it. And I think it's unacceptable that if I want to go stand up for my rights, that I'm belittled and I'm made to feel even more insecure, and I'm made to feel like I shouldn't talk and I don't have a voice.
Wow. Oh, it's always word. It's always powerful stuff when you talk. But what can I say? Well, since you've turned up, and you know, the last 6 months or so, you've grown as a person. But what I admire about you most of all is you're speaking out now, and you've been speaking out now for the last couple of months. And I think you're very brave. You shouldn't have to, because we shouldn't live in this world. This world is ridiculous when it comes down to, you know, racism and things like that. It needed to be dealt with a long, long time ago. But what is incredible is that you're speaking out for a number of people.
People are trying to make a difference. Like, I have reported and I made this poem and people listened to it and it did go quite successfully. The teachers have done this assembly and they're doing their best to try and make an effort. Although I'm grateful for what they are doing, and I'm not saying that it's nothing, it's not really helping me, to be honest. I don't feel like what they've done right now has really helped me in any sort of way. I admire the fact that they're trying, but it's getting to the point where we talk about Black History Month and then again don't feel comfortable, people single me out. I had this boy who was also horrible to me saying that this is awful discrimination, in one lesson, and then in the other he was being not very nice to me and doing the same discrimination to me in another classroom. And they are trying a lot, and I do understand that, but it's not really helping me. It's sometimes it even makes it worse for me. And I think that we need to come up with a new method of dealing with stuff and how we deal with people when they have done a problem, because it's just not always working. I don't have the answer to this because this is a very difficult subject, but I feel like we should work together with a number of people and find out a solution. Because, yes, there must be lots of policies and stuff in place, but it's not working at all for me.
What would you, if you, I know you said you don't have the answer, but what we all know what we want and what you want, and what should happen, but what do you have any idea? What would make things better?
I think we should approach Black History Month in a slightly different way. Maybe, I'm not sure exactly, but I feel that maybe if we got, I think we should, you know, when we're in geography and we talk about slavery, I think maybe we should do that in a different way as well. Because in a way, I kind of feel like I'm the same as everybody else. I view myself as that. And then when we do lessons like that, I don't feel like I'm the same as everybody else because people give me looks.
It's about you. Is it how you feel?
Because most of the time, I'm going to be honest, I'm the only coloured person in the class. And as soon as we start that subject, I see people turning to me and like, everything is on me, like the spotlight is turned on me, but not in a positive way, in a negative way. Like, I don't fit in, I'm not right. And I feel that if we maybe did it in a more way where we did still learn about slavery, but we did it in a... It's just difficult, as I said. If we did do slavery and we did watch those movies, but we made sure, we kept a hard eye and we made sure that people of colour are treated the same in any other class. Because I think if maybe the teachers kept a more watchful eye in geography, he would have noticed some stuff that he didn't.
It's very difficult to talk about those things without you feeling that you're going to be in the spotlight because it's going to be about you. But we've got to find a way that you don't feel awkward about it and other people don't feel like you're fair game for prodding and poking and pointing the finger out as well. It's very difficult. I mean, they say... When you mentioned a couple of weeks ago about, you know, the Black History Months and how it made you feel, it's kind of, that's an awareness thing because people will think that they're doing the right thing. But the right thing, unfortunately, is not helping you. It's putting you on a spotlight, under the spotlight, and that's something that leads to trouble, problems, comments and so on.
I think it's more ignorance and not understanding. Because I've had people say stuff like, you would have been a slave. And the thing is, they didn't see why that was wrong. And even after we went through all of this stuff with them, they still didn't see how that was wrong because they decided to give me dirty looks after it's all dealt with, like I did something wrong as well. So I think it's a big issue how we deal with this stuff as well.
So how do we deal with it?
Well, I think there's a couple of things here, aren't there? Let's be absolutely clear. This kind of behaviour is totally unacceptable. And the fact that you are brave enough to keep coming back, you shouldn't have to, but the fact that you're brave enough to keep coming back and calling it out is absolutely creditable beyond belief to you. So don't, you know, keep calling it out. Now, there's a couple of things here. There is actually an app that I think it's Love Not Hate, where you can, because what you've described is hate crime. It is actually hate crime. So you can report it on there. And it's just occurred to me as we've been talking, a lot of behaviour like that, if you turn it on its head, so how's this for a suggestion? What would it be if these particular ones that are calling you out, or just as an exercise, perhaps within your geography class, you turn it on, it's turned on its head, and you're not the one that is in that situation. Some of the other students in the class, they have to play the role of the black person. Because if you turn it on its head like that, There's all sorts of things you can get as well. You can get things like virtual reality headsets and things where they actually put you in a situation. Because I do believe with things like this, unless the perpetrators are actually put in that person, well, they need to stand in your shoes and they need to actually understand the damage that they are doing and how totally unacceptable. So I think, actually, turn it on its head. It sounds like you've had some support, but things like this, if it's called out, it is a difficult thing to deal with, but it's absolutely something that you shouldn't have to be dealing with, and you certainly shouldn't have to be dealing with it on your own. So when these things have been happening, do your friends actually, because I'm sure, because you're such a lovely young lady, I'm sure you've got friends, do they sort of come in and try and sort of support you?
You know, something that really annoyed me is because I made this friend in one of my classes, and me and her are quite close. I sit next to her almost every lesson, and I told her why I actually moved from my classes, because I've moved once because of I dealt with the whole class being horrible to me racially, throwing stuff in my hair, calling me names, comparing me to a slave, a whole bunch of stuff. So I moved out of those classes, and then I told this girl what happened, and she was like, oh no, that's so awful, and she said all this stuff, and I thought that I had a really good friend. And then when it actually came to it happening in the class, she decided to laugh and find it funny and all sorts. So yeah, it's almost, I understand what you're saying, but I'm not sure if it would help a lot, because the people who call out and say this stuff will never truly understand how it feels to be in my situation. And I don't think that they would care either, because the kind of people who would call out and say stuff like that, they don't care, they don't give a damn, they just want to say stuff that would hurt me sometimes.
Do you feel, though, because you said you were the one that was actually having to change class?
Yeah.
That's almost penalising you, isn't it? How did you feel about that?
What? I was fine with it, because it was the whole class. It wasn't worth moving a whole class out just for me. But the thing is, they moved me out of my classes with these certain bunch of people, and then they ended up mixing me again with the same people. I don't know how it happened. I think it might have been when we moved into year 8, but later on they started to do the same things. Like, their punishment didn't work at all, because I had an incident with this one dude. He said something ignorant, he got into trouble, they dealt with it. A while later he did the same thing again. So I think it's just showing that they haven't learned a thing, really, and we really need to change how we deal with this. Because if they would say it again, they would do it again. They haven't properly been taught or punished. If they could just go do and say the same thing again and not see and understand why they're in trouble.
I absolutely agree with you.
Because there's obviously some flaw in the behavioural system. If they would go do it again, they get lash out at me when they get into trouble. They are trying to deal with it, but it's obviously, I've seen that it's not always worked out how they deal with it.
Do you know what? I'm absolutely horrified at what I hear, not just today, but over the last couple of months when we have conversations.
Yeah.
It never ceases to amaze how stupid people are.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go back in time and it wasn't right then, and it sure as hell ain't right now, but you'd think that we would have learnt a hell of a lot more over the years, but that's not happening. And
yeah,
are you surprised at the level of, you know, this is racism on the Isle of Wight?
I'm saddened.
Yeah, I bet.
And I'm actually quite angry that some of our young people are having to go through this. We were talking just off air, just before we came on, about student council. Is this something that, you know, this would be a really good issue for student council to take up?
To be honest, I don't care as long as it works, as long as something's done. I mean, my own
but
belief
is... But is it just going to be one thing? That's the thing. I think it's one of those things where everybody needs to be on board. It needs to be called out. It needs to be absolutely made clear this is not acceptable.
Do you know what really makes me cross is when you watch, you know, if you watch Sky Sports, they will have, you know, they will have these moments, they will have these commercials, as I say, kick out racism, we all stand together and so on. And these kids will be watching their football teams and they'll be saying, yeah, take the knee, and they'll be doing all of these things. And yet you go into school and it's totally different. Maybe that's the sort of campaign we need. Mm. You know, something that isn't, too over the top, like a month of, and you're in the spotlight. It's just something that we need to be aware of.
Oh, I think it's a cultural thing. I absolutely agree. It's not something that, oh, this is the flavour of the month and then we move on. This is something that we have to embed in our whole culture, that we all have the right to live an equal life, don't we?
Yeah.
We certainly do.
It's just not acceptable, whether it's in school, whether it's out in the community. Have you only experienced this in school, or have you experienced this anywhere else?
Mainly in high school. I used to love Black History Month in primary school because it actually did what it's meant to. It's meant to empower people like me. It's meant to make me feel strong. It's meant to make me feel not alone. But I've seen in primary that was acceptable. It made me feel good and it was okay in primary. But when I went into high school, it was a complete opposite reaction. It was more like, this is what happened, this is what happened. And then it was more like Black History Month in high school, like it was more separate me from everybody else. It was more people calling out, saying rude, obnoxious stuff, people staring at me, all sorts. So I'm not against Black History Month. I think it's a great idea. I just think we need to approach it in a slightly different way.
Well, that's interesting, because you were sort of saying, so do you think it was the age thing at primary that made it? Because you were saying that at primary it was working.
Yeah.
And then so was it? Is there anything that we can take from that in the way that it was delivered at primary level?
Yeah, I think kids get horrible as they get older. That's what
I think it's more that they kind of figured out what they can get away with. So to a certain level.
They shouldn't be able to get away with anything. That's the thing.
I think it's more maybe their age, because this is a bit... Because at a younger age, I think people are more sweet and caring and stuff and more understandable. And some people,
Where do parents sit in all of this? Because obviously parents have some influence, and more connection when children are younger. Do you think that's part of it, that as you get older, and it's only right that you develop independence and you develop your own opinions, but parents still have a role to play, don't they?
Yeah.
Very much so in shaping teenagers as individuals and citizens. And I've got this real thing about, you know, developing our young people as rounded citizens. It's not just about the academic side of things. It's about taking your place in society. And I think this very much actually goes to the heart of it, doesn't it?
Normally when somebody gets into trouble for saying or doing something, their parents get called up. And for me, that's always made situations worse, because when their parents get involved, the child, they probably respect their parents a lot. They get into more trouble when they're in home and their parents have found out what they've done, because usually the parent is mortified and then the child feels embarrassed. They get annoyed and they actually see that their parent is disappointed with them. They probably have a talk, or they actually get severely punished, and then the child comes in and then does more horrible stuff to me because they are annoyed that it's got to the point where their mum knows what they've done, and then they end up doing more horrible stuff.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What happened when, just say for instance, the person that calls you horrible names, do you then sit down with them at all? Are you part of the process that happens afterwards?
No, I'm not. No. I am probably the process afterwards when the child has a go at me.
Would you like to be? Which is wrong, but would you like to be? Because I'm just saying, if, just say for instance, what I would do is I would sit that person down with you, with a teacher, and say, what's your issue? Let's explain a few things. You're obviously ignorant, not you, but you're obviously ignorant. Now we need to educate you with the facts, okay? And then you can tell that's your moment. And I know this could be quite traumatic or difficult, but at the same time, I see you handling this. You just say, for instance, I'm the person that called you the name and I'm now sitting down and I'm embarrassed.
I think it would be a great idea to educate the people properly. Maybe have somebody talking about why this is offensive. Like maybe if they call me a name and then I actually was there with them and told them why it offended me and why I told on them, it may help something. I also think it'd be a great idea if in assembly maybe they talked about, like, I don't know, maybe a child who has dealt with something like I have, or let's say Bradley with his issue, got to come into assembly and got to talk about it, and then I got to talk about my issue. It may be very hard for me to come and talk in front of a lot of people, or maybe even send a podcast like, you know, how we do here.
Yeah.
And I talk about what's happened and how it's been. And maybe if they actually heard it from my point of view, because my poem was read out in assembly, but it wasn't read out how I would read it. She slipped up a bit. She didn't read it with the passion that I would have read it with, because it's not her. It's like if you write something, put a lot of passion into it, I would give it to you, read it in front of people.
And that's going to hit
the mark. One side of the story, you give me my piece and I read it in front of them, it may actually hit something.
I guarantee it will, because I sat here and it brought a lump to my throat, and it was powerful. It was really, really powerful. Yeah. But what are we scared of? I mean, I say, not you, but what are we scared of when we say, oh, we've done this down, I'll read it out and just make a little thing of it, and it doesn't work. It didn't work.
I think Alyssa makes a really good point. I mean, you should have been reading out your own your own stuff.
Hey, look, we're running out of time, and I what will happen now? Will you take these things on board? Will you look into this? Because I just think this is something that we need to get a grip of. You know, this young lady is going to have a wonderful life, I know, because she's incredibly talented, and I think she's incredibly brave. And I think now we just need to make people aware of the situation. Look, you cannot do this. It's not right.
It would be interesting for listeners. Is there a way that they can sort of come in and comment? Because, you know, I think it's wider than just within this studio, isn't it?
I think if we can reach out to parents, you know, just imagine if your son, daughter was being bullied, because that's what it is. It's far worse than that. But just have a word.
We all to be involved in this, don't we?
If you know that your kids are being racist bullies, because that's what it amounts to, then that's a product of you. That's on you as a parent, okay? So maybe just to take a long, hard look at yourself, because this is something we need to address. This is something we need to stamp out, and you're right. We all need to be involved in. I'd just like to say, because we are running out of time, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank
I know you.
You
put yourself out to come in, and I'm hoping that you're going to take on all of the questions that have been fired at you.
I definitely
and,
will.
And we'll keep in touch on that, I'm sure. And obviously, we've got to say goodbye to Bradders. Bradders is my wife's favourite on the show. So thank you. You've been a fabulous student, a fabulous guy to be around. You've never failed to put a smile on my face, and I really do hope that you get, you know, your voice drops soon.
Thanks.
Because I know that's something that you're really desperate for. And Kai, thank you for being a great student over the last couple of months, and I really hope that they resolve the issues, and maybe one day you'll like some kind of form of PE.
Yeah.
And life won't be quite so miserable whenever there is a PE lesson. And Elisa, I just want to say big thank you for the food over the last 6 months. They've been amazing. I think the cinnamon rolls and what was it you did today?
Salted caramel brownies.
They were absolutely delicious. And
I didn't
I'm pretty sure that you might get one on the way out. But I think you're an incredible young lady. Keep doing what you're doing, because you know that you're helping other people, and you know that you can make a difference, and it will happen, I guarantee. Don't give up, please, because you've got the support of all of us, and I'm pretty sure out there there'll be a lot of support for you now, even more so. So thank you. Thank you all.